shared some thoughts on before. We're going to revisit some of those things that I mentioned a couple of years ago. So I'm going to tell you stuff that you've already heard, but I know that God is going to bless you in that. But we're also going to have a look at some other stuff, which is new from heaven. And this morning's verse is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." May the Lord bless that verse to us this morning. That verse is taken from the last book in the New Testament called Revelation. Revelation was written by John, who was an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He wrote John's Gospel as well. And he found himself on an island called Patmos. This is recorded in Revelation chapter 1. And while he was on the island, the Lord Jesus visited him in a vision. And he had a vision of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "What I want you to do is I want you to write down everything that you see. And everything that you see will form the basis of seven letters to seven churches." And so that's what John did. And so if you wanted to know more about that, you could read Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3 and 4. And this morning we're going to have a look at this particular verse, which is part of the letter that was written to one of the churches. And the church was called Laodicea. But before we get there, I don't know what you think when you read that verse, because that particular verse is often used as a tool of evangelism. Many preachers, pastors and teachers will use that particular verse to reach out to the unbeliever. And the reason being is because it lends itself so well. It paints a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of a person's life. And if the person accepts the Lord Jesus, opens the door, that is, of faith, welcomes the Lord Jesus in, he comes in and they make a commitment to the Lord Jesus. And so often that is the angle of which that verse is used. Many of you may know that some time ago, maybe a year or two ago, I did a presentation on a painter. His name is called William Holman Hunt. And his masterpiece was a painting called The Light of the World, which is all about Revelation chapter 3. And for those of you that remember that William Holman Hunt, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he knew the Lord. And when he painted that particular painting, he didn't just get up one morning and think to himself, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint a nice picture of Jesus." No, it wasn't this sense of him wanting just to do it himself. He felt that through his own relationship with Jesus, that Jesus spoke to him and gave him a command. "I want you to paint this picture around Revelation chapter 3. So it was on that basis that he painted that painting, which is called The Light of the World. You may have seen it before. Can anybody remember how long it took him to paint that painting? A little bit more. Four? Anybody more than four? Seven? Eight? It took him 8 years to paint that painting. And one of the reasons why that William Holman Hunt, it took him so long, is because he wanted to get the colours of the dawn, which is at the back of Jesus' shoulder, the dawn. He wanted to get the colours right. And he went to such extremes that he took the painting over to the Middle East, over to Bethlehem. And he sat there one morning watching the dawn. And when he seen the dawn over in Bethlehem, he captured the colours and he was able to finish the painting. It took him 8 years, and that is his masterpiece. It's called The Light of the World. And you may remember the little story that goes along with that painting, is that when he finally finished the painting after 8 years, legend has it that he was so excited that he ran to his friend, his best mate. He says, here, I finished the painting. Have a look at it. I'm so excited. Do you want to see my painting? It's called The Light of the World. It's based on Revelation chapter 3. Come and have a look at it. And his friend looked at the painting. He says, oh, that's a fab painting. You've did a great job. He says, but you've made a mistake. And William Holman Hunt, the blood drained from his face. He says, what do you mean I've made a mistake? He says, Jesus is knocking on the door. He says, but you've forgotten to put something in. And he says, what's that? He says, there's no handle on the door. How is Jesus supposed to get in if there's no handle? And legend has it that at that precise moment, William Holman Hunt looked at his friend and he says, the handle is on the inside. And friends, isn't that so true? For the believer today and for the unbeliever, is that the handle is on the inside. That means that it is your hand. It is your hand that goes on the handle of the door of your life. It is by choice that you place your hand on the handle of the door to your life and you twist it and you open the door and you welcome the Lord Jesus in. And as he comes in with the light of his presence. He comes in with the comfort of his presence, of who he is. And he will do that which he promised to do, is that he will sit with you and be present with you. And he will talk with you. And that is a picture of relationship. Bless the Lord. And so that's one angle. I know you know that angle. But this morning I want to have a look at Revelation chapter 3 from a new angle. An angle that I've not preached on before. You see, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it speaks about Jesus knocking on a door. And he says, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. He's knocking on the door. He's knocking. And do you know what that means? It means that the door is shut. The door is actually shut. That's why he's knocking. The door is not open. The door is shut. And it's so easy just to overlook that point. You see, Jesus doesn't have a problem when the door is closed. In fact, that's a very good thing, that the door is closed. You see, have you ever thought about why you close the door of your house? You see, when you get up this morning, and when you get up each day, and you go off to do your activities, whether it's go to work or go to college, the last thing you do is, you close the door behind you. Don't you? Yes, we all do that. And you turn to your loved one, you say, is that door shut? Yes, that door is shut. And then what you do is, you come back from wherever you were, and then you open the door, and when you come into your house, what do? You close the door behind you. So that's what we all do. And then, when you're getting a little bit sleepy at night, and the last thing you do before you go to bed, you say, I must close the front door. I've got to close the front door. I've got to not only close the door, but I've got to make sure that it's locked. And that the front door is locked, and that it's shut, and that it's closed. And then once you're satisfied that that door is closed, you go to bed and you sleep peacefully. Have you ever wondered why you close the door? One of the reasons why you close the door of your house is because you say to yourself, this is my house. I've worked hard for this house. Everything that I have in my house belongs to me. I care about my house. And so therefore, because I care about my house, I want to take care of everything that is in the house, everything that I possess in the house. See, there are things in your house that you care about. And there are things in your house that have value and have worth. And there are things in your house that you love. And so therefore, one of the reasons why you close the door of your house is simply because it's your house. It belongs to you and you care about it. Another reason is it's protection. You see, you want to protect everything that is in your house. And so there are lots of things in your house that you want to protect. You want to protect them from anyone that would want to come in and take, kill, steal, or destroy anything that is in your house. And so we want to protect the house in which we live in. And then the third point is you close the door because you're sending out a message to everybody. You do not have access to come into my house. It's boundaries. You're sending a message to anybody that would want to come to the door of your house and come in and just sit in your chair, put their feet up on your table, sleep in your bed, eat your food. See, you don't want strangers coming into your house. You don't want anyone that would want to do you harm coming into your house. So you close the door and you say, you do not have access. I say, who comes into this house? This is my house. Isn't that the way it works? Friends, that's the way we operate with the houses that we own. And that's the way we have to operate in the house of our lives. You see, your house is your life. And you have to operate and live in such a way where you shut the door, where you don't have an open door policy to anyone or anything that would come to your life. Because if you lived in such a way where you had an open door policy, sure, anyone could come and anybody could come in and upset your life and upset what you have and upset and turn over the things that you redeem as precious, the things that you care about, the things that you love. And so therefore, your house, you got to make sure that you just don't open the door to anyone or anything. You got to be careful of what you open the door to. Because if you give access to anything, you're in potential danger. And so there is a door of your life. There is a door of your soul. There is a door of your heart. And you are the doorkeeper. You open the door for some things and you close the door for other things. We've got to be so careful about what we open the door to. We've got to shut the door. Many people have found themselves in turmoil because they have opened the door to things that have caused them harm. Some people have found themselves in trouble and in tears because they have given access to things that have upset their house and upset their lives. It's not very often that I would ever preach about the enemy because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. But you cannot ignore him. You see, his strategy regarding your life and mine is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so therefore, he comes knocking on the door of your house. He comes knocking on the door of your life. And so you have to make sure that you shut the door to him and everything that he represents, because if you open the door to him and he comes in, he will ransack your house. He will destroy everything that you have. He will turn your tables over. He will eat your food. He will ransack it. But before he does any of that, do you know how the enemy works? This is how he works. If he gains access through an open door to a believer's life, what he'll do is, he'll make himself at home with you. He'll begin to talk to you and he'll make himself comfortable with you. Because if he can gain your confidence and make his home your home and your home his home, then he'll cause you to believe that whatever he does is okay. And see, if he gains access, it's a lot harder to get him out than it is just to shut the door to him and not let him in in the first place. Friends, I urge you to make sure that you shut the door to the enemy. That you shut the door to anything that would seem of the enemy and anything that he represents. That you would shut the door of your life to darkness and grey areas. That you would shut the door to anything that does not hinge on heaven. That you shut the door. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? And they had two children, Cain and Abel. And what happened was, the two boys, they grew up. One of them became a shepherd, and the other one became a worker of the land. And the story goes that the shepherd, Abel, he brought an offering to the Lord, the best offering of his flock. And he offered it up to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him. And that made the Lord smile. And the story goes that Cain, a worker of the land, he didn't bring the best. He brought an offering, but it wasn't the best. And he gave it to the Lord. And the Lord wasn't as pleased with that offering. And this is what the Lord said to Cain. See, Cain was disappointed because the Lord wasn't pleased. This is what the Lord said to Cain. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." You see, the Lord was warning Cain. He says, you got to do what's right. You got to do what's right in my eyes. You got to do what's right in the eyes of heaven and in what that which is right. You got to do what's right. But if you do what's wrong, he says, sin is crouching at the door and it seeks to come into your life. And so, friends, it's the same for you and me. There are things of the enemy that would knock on the door of your life, but you got to make sure that the door is shut and you don't give them access. Because if you give them access and it comes in, it's a lot much harder to get it out than it is just to not let them in. Even Proverbs speaks about such things. It says, if you repay good with evil, evil will never leave your house. And so that's not an option, being revenge. It's not an option because it'll always be in your house and in your heart. And do you remember that psalmist in Psalm 84 that says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Friends, you and I, we are doorkeepers. That is, we say what comes in and we say what does not come in. We set the boundaries. We lock the door. We say, yes, you're welcome, and we say no to you. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, make sure that you shut the door to the enemy. Make sure that you shut the door to darkness. Make sure that you shut the door to anything that would not align itself with Christ, or anything that would not align itself with heaven. Because if you let something into your life, it'll have you in tears and it'll have you in turmoil. And often it's difficult to get it out once it's in. But the Lord Jesus, he is strong and he is mighty, and he can evict anything that comes into our lives if we give him the permission. Have you ever heard of an author called John Bevere? He wrote some books. One of them was The Bait of Satan. It was all about taking offense, getting upset with people. And another book he wrote was Breaking Intimidation. But he wrote another book, and it's called The Devil's Door. And he talks about this subject of making sure that you close the door to the enemy, that you don't let him give him access into your life in any way. And he talks about the difficulties of people when they have opened the door and things have come into their lives where they find it's difficult to get it out, or it's difficult to live. And it's called the devil's door. And it says you got to shut the door. And some of the points he makes 3 points. And I'd just like to share them with you this morning. One is disobedience will open the door. If you know what you should do, and then you go and do something totally the opposite, that will open the door. Disobedience to the word of God or to the commands of Jesus. He also says ignorance is another thing. If you know what's right, but you ignore that, then you can open the door and give access into your life. And the other one is oversight. Oversight is not to see the danger. It's just to make a mistake in the sense that you just didn't see what was taking place. And so this morning, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in." And you may say, well, how do we know? How do we know what to let into our lives? How do we know what to open the door to and what to close the door to? Well, it's the same if anybody came to your house. The first question you would ask them is, who are you? And so it is. We must ask the questions of the things in this world that come knocking on the door of our lives. And you may say, well, what do you want? If something presents itself to you in your life, ask these questions. Who are you? What do you want? Where are you from? Do you represent heaven? Do you represent Christ? Do you represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you align with him? And if it doesn't align with him, be very careful about opening the door to these things in your life. And then after all of those things, after asking all of those questions, it's then you begin to consider whether you allow access. You see, when Jesus spoke to the church of Laodicea, the door was closed. And he doesn't have a problem with the closed door because it represents boundaries. And so this morning, there's 2 things I'd like you to do that as you listen to these things. One is, will you open the door to Christ? Will you place your hand on the handle of the door of your life and open the door to Christ and say, Lord, I welcome you in. I welcome you into my life. Come and sit with me. Come with your light and with your love. But as you welcome him in, will you close the door to darkness or to anything that you may think, I'm not too sure about that? Ask the Lord, is there anything that I have allowed into my life that I think, yes, that needs to go. I need to close the door on that particular thing. And so this morning, as Grace plays some instrumental music in the background, this is a particular area where you can open the door to the Lord and just say, Lord, I welcome you in. I welcome the light of your presence. I welcome everything that you are and everything that you bring into my life. But as you open the door to him, I urge you, will you close the door to anything that is not of him? And if there's anything in your heart or in your house that you think, yes, I think I may have let something in, will you make a decision today to say, it's time to shut the door on that particular thing. It's time to say to that particular issue, it's time for you to be evicted. It's time to get out. And ask the Lord Jesus to evict if anything has come into your heart that does not represent heaven and does not represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just as Grace plays, welcome the Lord Jesus. Open the door of your house, that is your life, to the Lord Jesus. Welcome him in. But shut the door to darkness. Shut the door to the enemy. Shut the door to grey areas or alternatives to faith in Christ. Shut the door. Do not give access to anything or anyone that does not represent the Lord Jesus Christ.